Well, listen, we've been in a series called Committed to the Kingdom. And at first it was committed to the kingdom, which means if you're committed to the kingdom, you have to be committed to the king of the kingdom. And then last week we talked about if you're going to be committed to the king of the kingdom, then that means you have to be committed to the king's agenda. And that the agenda is truth. That is what we are committed to. If we're committed to the king of the kingdom, then that means we have to be committed to the king's agenda. The king's agenda is truth. And that's what we talked about last week. And then this week, if you're committed to the kingdom, then you're committed to the king of the kingdom. And then you're committed to the king's agenda. And then this week, if you're committed to the king's agenda, which is truth, then you have to be committed to the king's organization. And the king's organization is the church. And the word committed, it means dedicated and loyal to. And you come to this place to really, we're going to break it down a little bit today. And then next week, we're really going to break it down even more, even about BC and just the privilege of what it is, honestly, to lead this church and see what God is doing here. And it's so funny, you hear me say often, because I love this, that we do have the greatest people on the planet. We have so many servants, so many volunteers, that from the very beginning, we love what it looks like in this place. We want people to serve in a place where we have so many servants, people want to serve more instead of having so little servants, people want to serve less because they're doing so much. Man, we have an abundance of servants. And then yesterday, the amount of people that came out to pack boxes was absolutely amazing. And Jamie and Melissa, who run Kingdom Kids, even Jamie was saying this morning, hey, that whole thing that you say about the greatest people on the planet, and he's like, we experienced that. He says, we've been in church forever. I've never seen so many people just show up just to put toys in a box. And he's like, we have such great people in this church. And man, when you understand, well, what's church? What do we do here at Believer's Chapel? Like, what does it actually mean to be a part of the local church? Really, really saying, I am committed to the kingdom. I'm committed to the king. I'm committed to his agenda. And I need to be committed to his organization. And his organization is the church. And the word church through scripture, it means the assembly. It means the congregation. It's an assembly of people. Church is people. And that's us. It's what we do. I mean, when you look at where we're going to even go today, you see this picture of what it really looks like and how God set it up. Come on, turn with me, please. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and then Acts 20. Two different places. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Acts 20. And this is what I believe, church. And you know, we've said it so often here at BC. I think church should just be simple. I don't think it needs to be difficult. I don't think it needs to be confusing. I don't think it needs to be complicated. We have a lot of things going on, and we're growing in a church. I mean, first service was like standing room. It was packed in here for first service. And we're seeing this sense of what God is doing at Believer's Chapel. We can just continue to expand. We're working on the back room so that we can open up couple more classrooms here over at Kingdom Kids. We want to remove two age groups. We're doing everything we can for this family church and this family atmosphere to do everything that's necessary to really say family wants to be in church. We want your kids to grow up, in a sense, to love church from the nursery to Kingdom Kids to growing up through Kingdom Kids. That we want your kids to love church so that there's a point when they walk out, when there's a point when they grow up, there's a point when they leave your house, there's a point when they get married, if God would ever lead them out of this area, that there's a point where the very first thing they do is go find a local church that's preaching God's truth, that understands worship, understands the truth, and the very first thing they do because they know the value and the importance of God's organization. And you come to this place where this is what we want for all of our kids. This is what we want for where we're at as a church, that we would raise up and grow in a 45-minute radius. That's our region. 45-minute radius, that we would have a region of people that would know what it is to worship God, because ascribe to the Lord the glory that's due his name. Worship him. It's due him. I want a region of people that will glorify our God and our King and understand what that looks like, that understand the word is the truth. Could you imagine what we could do when people understand the value of the local church? I think Vince Lombardi just really nailed it right when he came to a place to just make football so simple. And Vince Lombardi is a Hall of Fame coach for the Green Bay Packers. And you come to a place where you understand, where his simple, he came to a place of just so simple. He says, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to block, and we're going to tackle, and we're going to execute better than every team we play. And if we can do that, we'll win every game. It's simple. We're going to block better than them. We're going to tackle better than them. And we're going to execute better than them. And we'll win. And they said, well, what? Really, what is your game plan for that? And he answered in such a way, it's awesome answer. He says, well, listen, when we're on offense, okay, we're going to knock everybody over on the other side of the ball, and we're going to score. He said, okay, well, what about defense? Well, it's easy. When we're on defense, we're going to knock everybody over on the other side of the ball and get the ball back. Not that difficult. A Hall of Fame coach, and I love to just pick up things from these great leaders. Say, let's just keep church simple. That's why we really are just a worship and word church. God Almighty deserves to be worshiped because he's God. Because Jesus Christ put himself on a cross on purpose for us. He deserves to be worshiped, and the word of God is the absolute truth. And I love to come to a place and just say, let's just keep it simple. Let's not make it so confusing. Yeah, but you have the people factor in mind. People oftentimes make it more confusing than you need to. Yes. But let's look at this, man. 1 Timothy is a letter that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And it's a great, because Timothy is the pastor of the church at Ephesus. So you see the book of Ephesians, that's written to the local church at Ephesus. You see the book of Philippians, local church at Philippi. You see 1 2 Corinthians, local church at Corinth. You see 1 2 Thessalonians, local church. And you can go through the New Testament and you can see where Paul addresses the importance of the local church, where he writes all these letters that we have the collective group of all of them, and praise God for that. But it's a point where you begin to see he's writing these two local churches, and we are that local church. We are that congregation, that assembly that comes together. Yes, the big idea is Sunday mornings, man. The big idea, we come together, we can have the biggest impact on the most people on a Sunday morning. We just continue to invite people and continue to ask God to do a work in the lives of those who are hurting and broken, begging God for those who really, really don't have a church and those who've never called in the name of Jesus. We want them here. We want the broken and hurting in this place as a local church so that they can come to a place to know Christ as Lord and Savior. That's church, man, and we're expanding that. It's amazing. And you come to this place where Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, who is a pastor of a local church. And this is what he says. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. This is powerful. And this is an amazing picture of what the local church looks like. But verse 15, but in case I am delayed, I write to you. This is what he says. In case I want to be there. I want to be at Ephesus. I want to be with you face to face. I want to see the people. Timothy, they've spent a lot of time together. I want to be with you, Timothy. And this is what he says. But if I am delayed, I write so that. Anytime you see so that in scripture, highlight that, put parentheses around that. Something very important is coming after. This is what he says. So that you will know how to conduct yourself. Look at this. So you know how one ought to conduct himself where? In the household of God. Look at. In the household of God. Which what? Which is the church of the living God. So here he says this. Listen, I'm writing this to you, Timothy, who's a pastor of a local church. I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. I want you to know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. So you look at this, and we know that this is inspired by the Spirit of God to be written down for us to read today, to come to a place to know that God says, listen, the church, that's my household. The church, Timothy, get it, the picture. How is it that one is supposed to conduct himself? And I love how Paul calls it the household of God. Like I love this. In our church, I want this to be home. We have so many people that walk in these doors that when they come in this place for the first time, I don't know, man, it was something that I just feel like I was home. We hear that all the time. And I love it because it's a pattern. That it is the household of God. And when you begin to break down scripture, you see in Romans 8 that we are declared to be sons and daughters of God, that we have been adopted in as a household, as a family. We are declared to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, do you get the theme through scripture talking about us being adopted, understanding what it is to have a father, understanding what it is to be brothers and sisters in Christ, treating each other as brothers and sisters in Christ with great respect and kindness as brothers and sisters. Man, it just kind of sounds like a family to me. And I want to be committed to the kingdom so much so that I want the king's organization to be a very clear picture of what it is to look like a family, to see what it looks like to be a household. Could you put up just Ephesians 2:19 for me, please? I love this. So then you are no longer strangers. Everybody say no longer, please. Because you got to get this. For you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, that's us, and are of God's household. And when you begin to see that God defines his church as a household, he begins to define the church as home, as family. That's, I tell you, this is what I want this organization to look like. The organization is the King's organization, and it's actually called the church. He calls it here, God's household. Look at it. Watch. Get your Crayolas out. Look at this. This is what drives the verse right here. The household of God. When you're reading scripture, identify what drives the verse. Identify, man, this is the nugget. This is what I need from this. And I love this because it says this, that the household of God, that drives the verse, talking about family, talking about a home, talking about what it looks like for brothers and sisters to come into a home and honor one another and care for one another and love one another and come to this place to beg God to bring people in who are hurting and broken, to be a part of the big family of God, to be a part of the household of God, to understand the good news and to understand the gospel. And this is what we're begging God for at BC. And you understand really what this looks like to a point of the growth that God has allowed us to see. And it's God's thing, man. This is God's thing. When you look at this, it's God's household. It's not Sean's. It's not Renee's. It's not Brendan's. It's not Teresa's. When we started this thing in our living room 8 years ago, you had me, Renee, Brendan, and Teresa leading the ship, and we're so blessed by these guys, so blessed by what's happening in this group that it's just from the beginning, God, this is your people. This is your church. And we're honored to be able to lead it. And he says, listen, the household here, now watch this, is the church. I love that, the household of God. And he actually calls it the assembly. He actually calls it the congregation. And this is written to a pastor of a local church. And he says this, watch this, is the church of the living God. Now we come to a place to belong to the household of God, which is the church. And he defines it. Whose church is it? The church of the living God. And I love this, that when you understand, there's a quality that God has been so good to us here at BC that we understand that he is alive and he is very real. And when you understand, when you congregate to a service, the living God, he shows up. The Bible says when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And you come to a place where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, he will be in the midst of you. And we do that every Sunday. We come together and gather under no other name except the name of our King Jesus. We come before him, and in that, because he's a living God, we come to a place to know that in that sense on a Sunday morning, we have the right and the ability to be in his presence because we're of his household, which is the church, and he is the living God who's absolutely present and in control of Believer's Chapel. Can you say thank you for God's presence, please? Give him praise, please. Come on, amen? Yes. And then it says this. But in case I'm delayed, I write, so you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. That's the church of the living God. Here it is, the pillar and the support of the truth. Look at how important the household of God, which is the church of the living God. Look at how vital it is to have church. Look how important it is to be a part of the local church, because the church is the assembly of believers, the congregants, the ones who are the saints, who are part of the household of God. The church is the pillar. And the word pillar here, you can picture maybe a government building that has pillars in front of it, or maybe homes that have pillars in the front that kind of upholds the roof. And it's something that gives great support to. That's what a pillar does. It brings great support to what? To the truth. You got to understand something. In this day, when he's writing this to the church at Ephesus, that Timothy is going to read this to the church, there was this, the temple of the goddess Diana or the goddess Artemis. There's a temple that was in the middle of the city of Ephesians, in the city of Ephesus, that was this temple that had 127 pillars that were donated by 127 different kings, all made of marble and these humongous, incredible structures. So when I love the picture here, when Paul writes this, you know where the Ephesians' minds go to? Is that temple of these humongous pillars. Now listen, this was a pagan house. This was a pagan temple. Nothing good was happening in this temple, but they could get the picture of, okay, what is the church supposed to be? And they get this picture of it as the pillars, that which supports the truth. So the church is the pillar, and it says the supporter. Your version, it may say the base, or it may say the foundation of the truth. Man, if you ever build anything, you have to understand the worth of what it is to have a solid foundation. If you build a house on a bad foundation, eventually the house is going to fall in here. And this church we are building, this church, which is the congregation of believers, which is the household, the church of the living God, which is the support, and it is the foundation of truth. Do you see how important church is? Because if we say that I'm committed to the kingdom, we have to be committed to the king's organization. And I love how he says it here. It's the household. It's a family. Brothers and sisters coming together in a home to glorify God. And the church is the support. And the church is the foundation of the truth. Huge. Huge responsibility. Come on, let's look at Acts 20, please. And this is just reading over this week and just being reminded again of what it is to shepherd and what it is to oversee, and just be reminded again of the seriousness of what's going on at church. And to know, man, when you understand what it is to be committed to the church, and you understand what it is to be committed to the King's organization, you understand what it means to do everything we can to make as much room as possible. Praise God for this building. Praise God for the seats. Praise God for room for people, those who are hurting and broken, those who are lost without Christ, eternally damned forever. Man, I want them to hear the gospel. I want them in this place. I want you to be so free to invite people come in this place to hear the good news and respond to it in a way that the Spirit of our living God comes and he moves within their hearts. And they are never the same, eternally, forever, never the same, because somebody invited them to Believer's Chapel, to the local church, because we're the pillar and the support of the truth. And I was reminded as I was reading through Acts, and it just says this, Acts 20, verse 24 says this, but I do not consider my life as an account to dear to myself, so that, there it is again, highlight that parenthesis, that so that I may finish the course of the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore I testify, he said, testify twice. I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Look at this, verse 27. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. I did not shrink declaring to you. And when you see to you, my mind, when you read scripture, my mind goes, well, who's the you in this? Who actually is Paul actually writing to in this moment, in this passage, in Acts? He says, and then you see verse 17, it talks about him gathering at this moment in his time of ministry. He's gathering all the elders and all the pastors and all the overseers together. And he says, listen, to you. See, when you go back in scripture, you see in verse 17, he's actually dealing with the pastors here. So this is directly towards me. And I tell you, man, can I just be honest, man? When I read things like this, it makes me shake a little bit. Because there's an understanding of the responsibility of pastoring at any time in the history of the church. This hasn't ever changed. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word is absolutely without error. And you come to this place, and this pastor says, listen, for I did not shrink from declaring to you. And he's talking to the pastors. He's talking to the pastors of the church, the whole purpose of God. Now, this is what he says. Watch this, verse 28. And I read this to myself. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. I want you to see something here. He tells the pastors, be on guard. Be on guard. Shepherds, overseers, be on guard for yourself. Listen. Shepherds, pastors, overseers, be on guard for yourself. Guard yourself. Protect your back. Watch what's going to take place. And be on guard for your flock. Be on guard for your church. Be on guard for your people. Be on guard for the sheep. And he's telling this to the pastors. And now watch this. This is what he says. Again, verse 28, be on guard for yourself and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, the shepherd, the church of God. Now watch this, which he purchased with his own blood. So when you get to this point right here, you begin to realize this isn't my church. This isn't a man's church, the church of God, the congregation, those who really belong to him. Listen, I love this because, listen, Sean, be on guard for yourself and for your flock. I love it. You ever been to a place where you're house sitting for somebody and they go on vacation and they leave and then pipe breaks and you're just like, I don't know. Or your pet sitting, which could be worse than house sitting, because pets, people get crazy about their pets. Like, people love their dogs. Cats, not so much, but people love their dogs. And like, could you imagine your pet sitting and the dog dies and they come home from vacation? And you're like, I don't know. I didn't know I was supposed to feed it. I didn't know. But let me read this to you because this is where it gets scary. Be on guard for yourself, for all the flock among the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his blood. It belongs to him. For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come, and they will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Honestly, this is what came to my heart this week. What if you were babysitting? The mom and dad said, listen, I'm putting my child into your care. Like, I need you to watch my child, but I got to warn you. Because we're leaving town, man. We're out. I'm asking you to take on the responsibility of taking care of my child, but I got to warn you that in the midst of you taking care of my child, there are going to be people who are going to try to get into my house. And listen, we've had threats against the house. We've had threats against this child. We've had threats against this baby. But listen, I got to go, but I'm entrusting you to protect my child. But just know there are going to be threats that come this week. There are going to be people who are going to try to crash down the door and steal my child from your care. You up for that? This is what this means to me. I'm studying this and I'm going over this. And this is the picture that really came to my heart as I just tried to dive into scripture and chew on it and think on it and go over it. And he says, listen, Sean, as I've called you out of being that full-time cop. Listen, I loved police work. I loved being on the SWAT team. I loved being on the undercover team. And that was the top of my game. That is exactly where I wanted to get to. Except I wanted to do like New York, true story. I wanted to go to New York City or Miami because I thought that's where all the bad guys were. Like, I wanted to go at it, man. I wanted to go 100 miles an hour. Every minute, I'm just tackling people, man. That was my game. But here in this little area, the big village of Olean, man, I had a chance to be on the SWAT team, and I had a chance to be on the undercover team, and it was exactly where I wanted to be, and that's exactly when God called me out of that. He said, Sean, listen, I need you to shepherd the flock. There's a warning because they're not yours. They belong to me. I bought them. I purchased them with my blood. They belong to me. But I need you to oversee. But I got to warn you. There'll be wolves that come in and try to take people out. They're not yours. They're mine. My people. I need you to watch over the flock. Remember, Sean, they're not yours. I purchased them with my blood. They belong to me. And I love the picture where he called me off of the SWAT team, which is there to protect, to come to a whole different level of protection. Kind of do the same thing, but in the spirit. Kind of do the same thing, but in a level where it's like, I warn you, Sean, there's going to be attacks that come against the flock. There's going to be attacks that come against you. But he says, listen, you need to be on guard. And the word guard here, it's a military term to set a guard against, to be aware. And I love this. He says this, verse 29. And I know that my departure of savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. from among your own selves men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. Like, honestly, what's it like if that's a true picture? But we are the household of God, man. We're just his organization trying to do his thing, and we just want to keep it as simple as possible. To worship our King and honor him and believe the word is truth and know we're a bunch of broken people that come into this place. Every one of us, crackpots. They've been healed and delivered by our King and our Master, Lord Jesus Christ. He says, be on the alert. See, his household, this family is worth protecting. It's worth being on alert. It's worth knowing that attacks are going to come. One thing I know is this. Can you please hear me this? And we'll close out, man. We're past due. This is the deal. I'm going to tell you that I'm committed so much to the future of this church. I'm not committed to the last 8 years. Can you look at 8 years. We've been in our living room 8 years ago. And look what God has done to his church here locally. Look what God has done in this place and how honored we are, how amazed we are, how blessed we are in just 8 years. But man, we can get so pumped about the last 8 years, we can totally ditch on the next. Come to this place. See, as amazing as the last 8 years were, if we're really committed to the kingdom and we're committed to the King of the kingdom and we're committed to the King's agenda and we are dedicated and loyal to the King's agenda, then we have to, church, please hear this, we have to be committed to the future. And we look at what's taking place in the children's church and we want a true family church that we care about every infant. We care about every single age group that we're trying to make as much room as we possibly can make and make it so real for your kids. Listen, I just heard a report even from last week. Someone was telling me today that it was somebody who serves in the church and they were at the door last week and this little dude, man, this little tyke was just losing it. Just screaming and just mad. And he's like, listen, is there, what can I do? Does he need anything? He's like, no, he's just mad. He's got to leave church. Sweet. I love that because I want that little dude to be real when he grows up and he leaves the house. The first thing he does is to know the value of the King's organization. The first thing he does, he plugs in to a local church that's preaching the truth and understands worship. Can you just bow your heads as I close out? I gotta go, man. Can I just make it personal, please? Because I think when we understand what it means to be committed to the future, I think so many times we can be committed to the past. I think so many times we come to this place to walk in a sense that I'm committed more to the past than I am to the future. I'm more committed to that hurtful, that awful sense of what divorce has done for me. I'm more committed to that divorce than I am to the future and the plan that God has for me ahead. I'm more committed to the hurt and pains of the past. I'm more committed to the hurt of what took place yesterday, and I'm more committed to the things that took place last year or 5 years ago, and we dwell more in commitment to the past than we ever do to the future. Church, what happens if we understand what it is to speak by faith and not speaking in doubt, not speaking about the things of yesterday, not speaking about being what it is to be committed to the past, but you come to this place saying, no, I am going to be committed to the future, and it's going to show up in my faith, it's going to show up in my words, it's going to show up in my posture. I am going to elevate my eyes, I am going to lift my eyes up to my help comes from, I'm going to come to this place until his grace is to me, I'm going to be so committed to the future that I'm not going to be committed to the past. Parents, can I just ask, are you committed to the future of your kids, or are you just committed to the past? Maybe your kids have made mistakes. Maybe your kids have gone in a place to really maybe screwed things up for themselves, maybe even in an adult stage. Are you committed to the past? Are you going to be speaking life over them and praying for them? I know out of the house, but you're going to be committed to what God can do in them, and you are committed to the future of your kids. You come to a place, even if you have young kids in your house, you are committed to their future. Listen, when Renee and I, all three times, Renee and I got pregnant. I didn't get pregnant. Renee got pregnant. And we come to this place that we would lay hands on her belly and just pray over Carter, Olivia, and Ethan, and pray over Carter. We didn't even know he was a boy until I'm like, listen, I don't want to be surprised. I love the whole surprise thing. So, but we were praying, God, whatever you have given us, male or female, that they would find the right spouse. If it's a boy, and we right in pregnancy, we began to ask God for the future spouse of our children. Why? Because we're committed to the future. We're committed to what can happen. We're committed to where we're going. And just begging God for our children still to this day, praying over our kids. We even lay hands on our kids, asking God's blessing on them, committing them to the future, whatever God has for our kids. Listen, what happens when you come to this place to realize what it is to be committed to the future? And not be committed to the past. I just ask you, have all heads bowed except for those who are married. This is a huge deal. We got closed, but if you're married in this place, I need your attention. Please grab the hand of your husband, your wife, man, just look to me, please, because I think this is so real in marriage. I think there's so many times, please hear this, so many times in marriage that we get so committed to the past. We get so committed to the hurts of yesterday. We get so committed that we can't forgive the wrong that my husband or my wife did to me. We can be so committed to what was yesterday. We can get so committed to the past that you forget what it is to be committed to the future. You forget that the next 10 years, the next 15 years, if I commit to the future of our marriage, it can blow away the first half. Man, we come to this place to know if I'm going to walk in a sense to know what it is to commit to the future. I'm not going to be committed to the past. And today you can walk out different. When you just make a little tweak, say we're no longer committed to the past. In our marriage, no matter where it's at, if we're still married today, there's hope. We're not going to be committed to the sins of the past. We're not going to be committed to the mistakes of the past, but we're going to be committed to the future. We're going to be committed to where we can be tomorrow. We're going to be committed to what this thing looks like a year from now. A home that's full of joy. A home that's full of peace. A home that's full of rest. A home that's full of unity. A home that's full of we do this. Whatever we do together. Whatever we're in it together. Whatever's taking place, we're in it together. And we are going to be together committed to the future. When you have kids, man, you're committing them to the future as husband and wife. Things change. Things change today. As a church, we're committed to the future. Come on, just bow our heads so we can just pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for today. It's an incredible day here, God. Thank you for these people. God, thank you for this body. Thank you for this assembly. This is your household. We're your family. We belong to you. No longer belonging to the world. Father, in this church, in this organization called the church, we're committed to the future. We're dedicated and loyal to what's ahead. I don't want the past to stick us. I want the past to slow us down. I don't want the past to handcuff us. God, we're committed to the future. Our marriages, God, we're committed to the future. Our children, Father, committed to the future. No longer tied to the past, we're committed to the future. God, you're so good. You're so good that your goodness and your mercy would follow us all the days of our lives. That's so future right there. Screams future. Your goodness and your mercy, they follow me all the days of my life. I am committed to the future. We ask this in Jesus' name. Come on, amen.